I was just thinking back to this the other day. Do you remember when you used to play games like on a computer? Like you could play computer games? These kids will never know about playing games like on an actual computer.
You mean like, well, I mean, there's still plenty of people that play PC games, like games on the computer. Actually, there's some people that straight up prefer it. Like they still play game. Like, you know, there are some people that prefer playing like Grand Theft Auto on the computer, or I mean, any of your popular games.
Yeah, but back then it was like a mainstream, like it was before gaming systems really took off. Like, yeah, people had things, but like people would be like, "Hey, I'm gonna go play a computer game just for fun."
What was the first computer that your family had?
It was, I mean, I don't remember what it was. I mean, it was a Microsoft Windows, whatever. But it was that big. It used to be this big power and this big monitor and all that. I remember a couple of the games we had was like, they were all educational games because my parents decided to trick me and be like, "Oh yeah, you're gonna play a computer game," but it's actually educational. So there were a few of those.
Yeah, I had a few of those as well. I remember the first one that we got as a family was actually a Gateway. Do you remember those? Like with the little, they had like little cows, like as a little logo. So that's the only reason I remember it. But it was a Gateway and big bulky thing, right? And of course we had the dial-up internet with the man, those noises were just terrible. I hated the dial-up noise.
The only one I played that was like actual for fun was Toy Story 2, and I just remember you were Buzz Lightyear, and so you had to like, it basically each level was kind of like it was either Andy's house or like inside of his room, and you were trying to accomplish certain missions. And then I think like the next level was like trying to cross the street or out toy barn, or it was outside or something. But it was a pretty cool game. I liked it.
Yeah, the only other one that I remember, there was two that I remember, is I had a Tonka truck like racing game. I don't know if you've ever seen those, but it was like basically truck racing, really bad graphics and everything. And then the other game that I had was it was an educational game. It was called Carmen San Diego. Like there was like a whole, it was like the one in the Amazon. I don't know if you played that one, but it was like the only reason I liked it is because I didn't like doing math, but they had like math fishing where you would like have the little hook go down there and it would be like the different numbers and it would ask you the question. I would be like, yeah, I'm fi-, and then like it would be like different fish you would catch.
And I remember you playing Roller Coaster Tycoon and Prison Tycoon. Now, those were great games.
Yeah, they were. You build your own prison, build your own theme park, make money off of it.
Well, I'm Chris,
And I'm Micah.
and this is the Donut Box Podcast. Welcome back to another episode of the Donut Box Podcast. We are on our regularly scheduled programming this week, but Micah, how are you doing?
I'm a little tired, but you know what? We doing it just like usual, man. And I'll tell you what, we're thrilled about all of the listeners all around the world. Man, we've been getting some really great numbers here lately too, and I'm super excited because we're moving up the episode number list. I mean, we're going to be getting to season four here really soon.
Yeah, we're only 3 away from episode 150. I'm excited for that episode. It's going to be really exciting. I'm ready for it.
Yeah, man, absolutely. So, but yeah, man, we have a great episode today. We are back to our regularly scheduled programming, and we're going to get started with our first donut out of the box, which is the old fashioned donut or a story from our past, or sometimes we do people from our past. And this, you know, Chris and I, over the years, we've had, I guess, our what would you like to call it, Chris?
Our third musketeer.
You know, and it's kind of been interchangeable. We've had people come and go, but all of them have been awesome people. And some of them have been straight characters, man. So we got some stories about them, and a few of them listened to the show. So you know what, man? It's great. So, you want to get started, man? Who are we talking about first? We got to go down the list historically.
So the first person that joined, I guess, the three, because again, I don't know, me and Michael were always buddies, we were tight, but we were like, man, we need someone else in the friend group. And so the first one I remember, his name, we called him Tyrone Peewee, and he lived right next door to Micah. His family was definitely a military family. I could tell that. 'Cause wasn't his dad like deployed or something?
Yeah, for a lot of the time his dad was deployed. Yeah, and we call him Tyrone Peewee because he was this little kid, man. He was little, but he was I don't know. I think it was one of the wasn't it one of like the Wednesday night church leaders that like called him that first, and I think that's how the name stuck.
Yep, Mr. Lin. Mr. Lin called him
Mr.
Tyrone
Lin, yep.
Peewee, and that name stuck. And really and
It just
truly,
stuck.
I remember hanging it out with him a couple of times, like at your neighborhood. But really, I just remember hanging out with him at church, pretty much.
That kid was a ham, and this was so when we say like this was how old were I mean we were probably like 9, 10, right? I
It
think
was fourth and fifth
fourth and fifth
grade.
grade. So yeah, and Tyrone Peewee was a little younger. Like I think he was no, he was 2 grades younger than you, and he was only a grade younger than me. But like I wouldn't would you say I was the class clown that wasn't really funny?
Yeah, you were like the class clown that would try to act up and try to get everybody to act up.
I think why we were like, yeah, Tyrone Peewee is because he was that times like 12, except he would be doing some really, really crazy stuff. I just remember that kid bouncing off the walls, and like he was pretty wild. And he, I remember it was kind of nice because he deflected the trouble away from us.
It was kind of like a hey, he's the henchman. You come up with a good idea and you send Tyrone Peewee to do it so he catches
Do
all
your
the
dirty
heat. He
work
was the
for
fall
you.
guy.
Yeah, he was the fall guy every time, and yeah, and he would always yeah he never caught on to that for some reason, so it was always fun. But yeah, I even remember one time we told him to moon a classroom across the like a Wednesday night classroom across the hall, and he ended up doing it and getting in trouble. It
The
was
only thing I
yeah.
really remember about him is I just remember playing football with him a lot. And then I remember we were standing out between the two houses, your house and his house, and we were standing out in the yard, and he had this big old gallon of like Kool-Aid. Like it was ghetto. Like it was really ghetto. And like he like took and he drank from it, and he like passed it to you, and you're like, nah, man, I ain't going. He was like, you were like, your lips have been on that. I ain't gonna drink that. And I was like, I'm thirsty. So I was like, I'm gonna wipe this off. And I was like, then I'll drink from the thing. And I just remember he was like, yeah, it takes a real man to drink Kool-Aid when another man has already drunken from it. And I was just like, okay. I was like, I'm just really
Okay.
thirsty, bro. Like, don't flatter yourself.
Yeah, it's the Georgia summer out here. I think the time you weren't here this time, I don't think, but the time I remember with him is so I had gotten a BB gun, right? And I, you know, the whole you'll take your eye out, kid, I understand it completely. So all of our parents, like the bus would drop us off, and all of our parents didn't come home till 5 o'clock or after, but the bus dropped us off at like 3 o'clock. So there's 2 hour gap. And so we would go outside, and so I'd gotten a BB gun, Tyrone Peewee had gotten a BB gun, and a couple other kids in the neighborhood had gotten a BB gun. And so we came up with this really good idea because in school we were learning about, like in the different grades, we were learning about like different wars, the Revolutionary War. So how it started was we took chalk and we would put it in the BB guns to like make it look like gunpowder like going off. And so, and we would go in our, in like, I don't know why it was my backyard. I have no idea why. I guess probably so that if we shot holes in my wall, I was the fall guy and I was an idiot and didn't see that. But there was kind of a chain link fence gate that was like in the middle. And so one team would like take position, and there was like this red trailer that my parents had back there. And so we would like hide behind that, and then we had like this swing. You remember that swing in the front yard that we had that the squirrels chewed up? So like the other team would be in front of that, and so we decided, yeah, we're gonna have a war and we're gonna shoot at each other. And so we started shooting at each other, and I don't, somebody shot Tyrone Peewee, like I'm talking like right in between his eyes. Like, I mean, it was like right in between his eyes and like made this big purple welt and all this. Like, it didn't puncture the skin, but you could definitely tell what happened. And man, we got in so much trouble. Like, his mom went around to everybody's parents and like told, and I got in so much trouble. I got that BB gun taken away from me, and like I don't think I ever got it back, actually. Because that was it. But yeah, it was a big deal. And then but yeah, I just remember like him getting that welt, and he's like, you think my mom will notice? Like, yeah, she's gonna notice. And he was so mad that he took his BB gun and he shot me in the leg, even though it wasn't my fault. I have no clue why. So I had a whelp on my leg. It was kids. I don't know, man. That's why you shouldn't let your kids unsupervised with BB guns. It's just FYI.
So somehow or another, I think Tyrone Peewee moved away, and so
He moved
we
away.
said, "Well, we're taking applications for the next Musketeer." we found, I guess, I don't know, just happenstance, probably going to church a lot, but Patty Ice, he was a kid that we hung out with, and I lived on the other side of town, but his parents lived not too far from Micah's parents, so they were pretty close, and so they hung out a lot. And so we just hung out at church, and I remember there were a lot of times where we hung out with Patty Ice. We actually went to the movies together with Patty Ice.
Patty Ice's parents were actually a little bit more, I guess, how the tables have turned. They're not strict at all now. But back in the day, they were strict, strict, strict. And it was like we were going to go see a Tyler Perry movie. It was one of the Madea movies, wasn't it? And we were going to go see one of those. And I remember that his mom was like, yeah, you guys aren't allowed to see that. Like, I'm not going to allow you to see that. Only Christian movies. So we had to find a Christian movie. And the only one that was playing was called The Story of Jonathan Sperry. Is that the name of it? I know it was Jonathan
It was
Sperry
called The
something.
Secrets of Jonathan
Secrets of
Sperry.
Jonathan Sperry. What a movie. What a movie that was. Go ahead, Chris. You want to talk about
It
it?
was a really typical cheesy Christian movie about this old Christian guy who takes these middle school boys under his wing and teaches them what it means to be a man that follows Jesus. And it was just really cheesy. Like, think of Stand By Me, but really cheesy, Christian version. And for some reason, there was a kid that was crying about something, and somebody laughed. I don't remember if it was Patty Ice. I don't remember if it was me. Michael was
I think
laughing, but I
yeah,
don't remember which
no,
other
it was
was.
definitely me. I was laughing because this kid was crying about something stupid. it was a very bad movie. It was very bad. You remember more than I do. I don't remember a ton about it. I just remember that kid crying and me laughing.
So afterwards, we decide, hey, like, we're waiting on our parents to come pick us up, because I think we all got dropped off together. And so we were like, okay, we're gonna wait on our parents. Well, let's go get some ice cream. There's ice cream across the street. And for some reason, Patty Ice just takes off running, like doesn't look or nothing. And he just like runs across the street.
And this is like a major six. This is a major six lane road. Like this is a like it's a pretty busy street too. Like it's not a it was a pretty wide street. Like it's not a it's pretty hefty to cross. And he just sprinted across this mug. Like jaywalked it, but
Another re
sprinting.
another thing I remember about Patty Ice is I remember that we for some reason we all got together because Micah's parents, my parents, Patty Ice's parents, some other parents all got together, and we're gonna have a, I guess, Bible study fellowship, whatever, potluck at Micah's house. And so all the kids got out in the backyard, and me and Micah were kind of the ringleaders because a lot of them were like younger. They were younger than us. So we're
Listen, you
like,
come to my house, it's our
yeah.
rules, you know?
So I don't know what happened. I don't know if we have been watching Comedy Central or what, but we're like, we're going to have an old-fashioned roast where we just roast people. Now, me and Micah talked about this, I think, before people came over, but we laid down some ground rules. We're like, okay, we're not going to roast each other because we know too much about each other, and I'm not going to like accidentally hurt his feelings or anything. So I just remember.
Or even disclose, even you know, with because these people they were also big mouths too, so you know, don't want to disclose any information and have all that go out either.
But for some reason, we had everybody sit in a circle. So I was there, Michael was there, my brother was there, Jay Rizzle, I think, was there. Patty Ice and his brother were there, and then Aaron was there, I think, and I think that was it.
Yeah, he was
And
there.
so we were
Yeah.
like, oh.
Now, and then there was that one weird quiet kid that I don't ever remember
And
his
so
name.
we were like,
Anyways, continue.
okay, we're gonna roast. So we were like, all right, we're gonna go around the circle. And so I think me and you did most of the roasting.
Yeah,
I
I
don't
don't
remember
think we let too
anybody
many
else
other people have the
roasting.
opportunity. I think it was we took the opportunity to just roast everybody. I remember going up to your brother and we really torched him. I remember that.
I remember really torching Patty Ice and everybody was like, ooh.
Yeah, we torched. Hey, he was a good sport about it. He was a good sport, but we roasted the crap out of him. Yeah, you know what? Now that you mention it, I don't remember anybody else roasting that night besides us.
Yeah, we were the only ones that roasted. I think maybe Patty Ice got in. I think Jay Rizzle tried to get in, but we were like, nah, you ain't doing it right. You ain't roasting good. You're not gonna... Sit down. Let the professionals handle this.
we might have booed him off the stage and roasted him more. Who knows? But yeah, so, and then after a while, you know, his parents and everything, like, well, his dad got deployed, I think, too. A lot of these people were in the military, right? Military town. So I think his dad got deployed. It was like Korea, right? I think it was the place. And they were like able to visit him. I remember like they went over there for a little bit. Like, I know other members of his family went over there, stuff like that. And we kind of didn't see him as much after that started happening. And then, so, you know what? The applications are open again, you know, for this open spot. And that's where old Tay-Tay come into play. You know, I already know what memory you're about to say, but go for it.
How we came to know Tay-Tay was, so we were all in this small group together, middle school boys. And I remember our co-small group leader decided that he was going to do his own small group. And he lived, like, right across the street from our small group. So I remember Tay-Tay was like his first and only member. And so they were like, hey, like, is anybody, you know, if anybody wants to like help them start this small group, like, let's go. And so I talked to Mike. I was like, are you going to this small group? And he was like, yeah, I'm going. Are you going? I was like, yeah, if you're going, I'm going. So we started going over that small group and it was just me, Tay-Tay, Micah, and I think Jay Rizzle for a little bit. And it was just the four of us. And so we went over there and we just really got to hang out with Tay-Tay. And I remember for some reason we went to this adventure park and Tay-Tay was crazy, bro. Like he was hopped up on.
He was wild.
Yes. So for some reason, the story I remember, and we told this story on the podcast before, but what I remember specifically is we were riding in the bus to go on a student leader retreat to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Now this is like a 3-hour trip, 4-hour trip maybe. And so, do you want to tell the rest of the story? I'll let you tell the rest of the story.
Bro, no, go a little bit into it, and well, okay, I'll tell it. That's fine. So Tay-Tay and them, if you've ever been in a church van situation, it's very cramped, and it's rows of bench seating, right? And so, we're in the very back, and so there was already this guy. How do we describe this guy? The guy that's in the row in front of him. What do we even call him?
He was kind of like extra. He was just extra and trifle.
Yeah, definitely. And so one thing that he had on him was some Febreze. And man, I'm telling you, Tay-Tay was letting out some gas, dude. He was letting out some serious gas. And so like this dude, and he was like messing around too. And so this dude was like Febreze. Well, he ended up Febrezing him in the face. Like I remember he ended up Febrezing him in the face and he ended up like it was this whole thing. And so we ended up calling him Febreze for that. But not just that, man, he ended up like he was trying to get out of getting Febreze and he ends up like letting his fart out in my face. And at this time I was not, like I did not have a very strong stomach. I'll be real with you. And so I puked everywhere. And I just remember, man, that poor driver, shout out to him. He had to pull over and like we had to like clean all that up and like it was bad. It was bad. What do you remember about that? Like I just remember
I just remember Tay-Tay trying to grab the Febreze, and he farted in your general direction, to quote Monty Python. he farted in your general direction, and, like, bro, like, I think you just caught a whiff of it, and then, boom, like, you threw up. And I just remember being like, oh, bro. And everyone was like, Michael threw up. That like, poor van driver. Oh, man, shout out. Yeah, we cleaned it up.
He cleaned it up. Oh, man. What an embarrassing time too. Like, you know, you don't want to throw up on a church trip, but like, yeah, that thing was noxious. Like, It was like it wasn't just that, but like he had been farting like a good bit, and it was like that rotten egg crap, you know what I mean? And it was just bad. It was bad stuff. And that mixed with Febreze, mixed with middle school and high school boys, yeah, not a good time.
It was bad. It was really bad. I somehow Tay Tay ended up just not coming to church anymore. We didn't see much of him. Do you want to save the others for next week, or do you want to keep going?
You know what? We'll save the others for next week. We'll do another structured one since we did two free flows in a row.
We'll do part two. So here about part two, we have about three or four more Third Musketeers after Tay Tay, but those are some of the few ones.
Listen, man, I'm
I
sorry. I
just
got to go into one more Tay Tay story. The only other Tay Tay story I got to say is we went to this adventure park, and he was wild to the point where, like, this place had go-karts. It was an arcade and everything. And so we were in the arcade, and we went to this kiddie, like, basketball game. And I remember we found out a way to where you could basically dunk it and get it in every time and get a bunch of tickets. And so this dude went wild. Like, I'm talking like he would be taking the ball and like slamming it. And to the point where I guess an alarm went off like really, really loud and just blaring. And I've never seen somebody run so fast. Like, homie ran to the bathroom. He was a flash. I don't know, man. It's still to this day is just like I don't know if I've ever seen somebody run so fast. And I remember going to the bathroom, like, it's all right, the alarm's off. And he's like, anybody looking for us? It's like, nah, man, we're good. It's all good.
It's time to move into our next segment. And what is on our next segment, Micah?
Man, it is our jelly donut, which we normally do, the jail report, or it's kind of been kind of our second donut hole that's free flow, of whatever we want to do. We're going to go into conspiracy theories today. You know, you got to love some good conspiracy theories. And Chris, I know that you believe pretty much everything that you hear. So you'll believe all of these. It's great. I already know that's how it's going. No, I'm joking. But I do want to hear your opinion because, you know, naturally you are skeptical. And yes, you are a man of the cloth. So we'll take your spiritual beliefs into account as well. All right. So the very first one is the Phantom Time Hypothesis. Have you ever heard of that one?
No, I have not.
So these, I've chosen these as all lesser known conspiracies. So a lot of these you probably haven't heard of, but I'll ask anyways. This theory suggests that approximately 300 years of history, particularly from 614 to 911 AD, were fabricated, misplaced, or destroyed, altering the entire historical timeline. What do you think? Do you think history is not accurate because between 614 and 911 AD, historical records were destroyed or misplaced, and so
Can you explain to me why people think that?
they think a lot of it has to do with the Catholic Church, book burning, things like that, removal of, and basically consolidation of control. Other than that, that's all that it said that people believe in and why they believe it.
I think that's a believable theory. I would not be surprised if that actually was true. Just with the things going on in the Roman Catholic Church at the time, right? Like it was pretty corrupt. Like the Roman Catholic Church had periods where they would be like good, and then they'd be corrupt, and then they'd have to have someone kind of like set them straight, and they'd be good, and then they'd be corrupt, and then because so maybe it could be that that was a that could be that that was a thing. So I wouldn't put it past it. So I could probably believe that theory.
Yeah, so that one's interesting because, you know, basically from here on then everything is ripple effect. So, you know, Leonardo da Vinci, things like that, all that Renaissance, that could all be misplaced in time. Like we might think that it's in a certain time period, but it's not. So be very interesting. The next one, and I'm sorry if you know what this is and I butcher the name of it, the Mokolebe. Have you ever heard of that one?
I have no idea what you just said.
So this theory says that there is an existence of a dinosaur-like creature in the Congo River Basin, suggesting that dinosaur relatives might be alive today. Now, I will remind you that scientists also believe that, and I'm not saying scientists believe this, but scientists believe that the closest thing that we have to dinosaurs nowadays, genetics-wise and descendants-wise, is a chicken. At least that's what I've heard.
Yeah, that's what I've heard too. But you look at like these crazy big reptiles, dude, like these Komodo dragons and stuff. You'd be like, oh yeah, like
or even crocodiles.
Yeah, crocodile.
I mean, I look at crocodiles and I'm just like, listen, that thing is a dinosaur if I've ever seen one. Like, if it might not fit the typical definition of it, but it's definitely got some dinosaur-like qualities to it. But yeah, Komodo dragons too. You're right. There are other animals out there. The Congo River Basin is pretty vast as well, so I wouldn't be surprised. But I think if you're thinking like Velociraptor type thing or, you know, things like, I don't think that exists. But I do think that there's probably species that exist that might be dinosaur-like that we don't know about. I'm very open to that.
I am very open to that as well. And here's what I'll tell you. I'm not going to be the one to try to prove or disprove that by actually going and looking for it. So if someone else wants to go look for that, do you? But I am open to that. I'm with you on that.
All right, the next one, this one's a little bit more outlandish. It's about the Dulce base. You heard about that one? So this is a secret under this, according to the theory, this is a secret underground base in Dulce, New Mexico, and it houses extraterrestrials and humans that are working together on advanced technologies and genetic experiments with humans. It further goes, so that's the, you know, base of the theory. Now, some of the more extreme people in this theory believe that there is a contract between our federal government and these aliens, and that people that get abducted or that are never found are actually getting taken to this place to have experiments done on them with the aliens and the government in conjunction. What do you think?
I don't know, man. When it comes to aliens and stuff, I have a pretty conservative belief. It's not that I'm closed-minded to it, but like the fact that we have a contract with them, I don't think so. But again, I wouldn't put it past anybody. Like, it's believable. So, I mean, I personally, do I believe that? No, but I think it is believable. I don't think it's that outlandish.
Well, and I can see why people would believe it, right? I mean, I can see why people would believe it.
Do you know what I kind of heard this week? I heard that a lot of people, you know, like how the Bible says that Enoch got taken to heaven and like he never died or whatever. And there's like the Book of Enoch or whatever. People believe that Enoch might have gotten abducted by aliens, and that's why he wrote all that stuff.
I've heard that too. I mean, I've heard a lot of it, like, you know, God coming back on a chariot of fire and things like that, being a UFO. I've heard all sorts of stuff. There's all sorts of that sort of thing. But all right, so the next theory here, this is the Montauk Project. This theory claims that secret experiments were conducted at the Montauk Air Force Station in New York, including time travel, mind control, and other technologies. Do you think our government has time control or time travel and mind control technologies that are out there or at least being tested?
Time control, maybe not. Mind control, yes, for sure. 100% I believe in that. I do. I don't know, dude. Like, there was just weird stuff that happened like in the 50s and 60s with like experiments and stuff, like just weird stuff, like really weird experiments that they did. And so mind control could be one of them. I do not think that we have mastered or even begun to try to hit the surface of time travel. I don't think that, but mind control, yes.
I've even heard theories about that there are certain like wave frequencies, like they could put a speaker in front of people and like certain wave frequencies can make different things happen or make you be compulsed to tell the truth or things like that. I've heard things like that, but there's no telling.
Think about it, like even with music, like that's the whole thing about mosh pits, right? Like, yeah, you have the people aspect, but you also have the music that's like, yeah, like I want to go punch somebody in the face, like, you know. So that could be a thing too. Like, they could maybe use music or wavelengths to try to manipulate certain behaviors. So I don't think that's out of the question.
Yeah, I think there definitely might be something with that. This one you've probably heard about. I think a lot of people heard about this. There were some viral reels, memes, videos, different things. The lizard people theory. This theory says that there are shape-shifting aliens, which I know you talked about aliens already, but they're lizard people. But on top of it, they're secretly controlling the world's governments and influential organizations and maintain their power over humanity. But basically, they're shape-shifting reptile aliens that are living among us.
I don't believe in those kind of lizard people, but I do believe in the lizard people that live in Louisiana and Mississippi, and they are not smart enough to control anything, so Just kidding. Just kidding.
Dang. Roasted.
Boom, roasted.
Right. Boom, roasted. Just like Michael Scott.
I'm going to get canceled for that one.
All right. So the next one, this one is actually a moon landing theory that's a little different. So this theory suggests that the moon landing was not just a part of space exploration, like it actually happened. Like these people believe that the moon landing actually happened. But it suggests that the moon landing was not just a space exploration mission, but part of a secret plan to set a garden on the moon. So people argue that early lunar missions, including planting special flora, and that it would, over time, create a lush environment. And they claim that NASA's real goal was actually to prepare the moon for future colonizations, and to try to see if lunar plants would be a thing. Do you think that that could be a case? Like, the moon landing happened, and they actually planted some...
Let's just chase the rabbit for a minute, okay? Let's just chase it. Let's just say, what if? If we did land on the moon in 1969 or whatever, and it was in the middle of the space race, I do not think it would be that outlandish for us to try to create a garden so that we could put our stake on the moon, right? Like, before Russia... before anything, we could have a claim to it. We could say, hey, we checked out the moon. It's livable. We're going to plant a garden here, because now that's a signifying that the United States now has ownership and we were here first. I do not think that that is that outside of the box to think. But again, that's all basing on the fact that we were the first ones to land on the moon. If we, I do believe we did actually land on the moon, but just not in 1969 like they say we did. But I don't think that that's that outlandish.
I don't think that's that outlandish. Now, I will challenge it with one thing, and here's where I feel like this kind of goes off track. They would have to have made some sort of preservation or built some sort of dome, I would imagine, like even a small one, because you know, the moon without having a full atmosphere or even an atmosphere at all, whenever the sun hits it, like whenever the moon is on its light side, it's like 250 degrees plus, like it's really hot. And then whenever it's on its dark side, it goes below freezing. So any plant flora that came from Earth would be scorched and frozen, and it would definitely not work. So unless they did some sort of, like, you know, they thought maybe they had plant, you know, got some sort of plants that did, they did genetic mutations to, but late 60s, how much genetic mutation technology and research had been done to that point? I don't know. That's the only thing that gets me is, you know, the moon is a harsh environment to make stuff grow. But then again, maybe they didn't think about that. Maybe they're just like, screw it, let's plant some things. I mean, I don't know.
Who knows?
Okay, I just have a few more here. Actually, just two more. So this next one is the submarine internet theory. So according to this theory, there is an exclusive hidden network of underwater cables that facilitate a separate internet system used by governments and elite corporations. People believe that the cables are not just for communication, but also transmitting secret data and controlling government information flows. They claim that the existence of this network explains why there's discrepancies in internet speeds and also outages that don't necessarily make sense because of the amount of pull that this other network is requiring underwater. Now, I will say this. I do know that there is part of this that is true, and that is there is a network of underwater cables. That is how our world is connected and has been since the 1800s, even like with wires back in the day. There's a ton of fiber optic cables on the ocean floor. Like there's, you can look that up. So that is true. But what about the, you know, there's secret networks that are going on?
Well, if it is true that there are fiber optic cables on the ocean floor, then I don't think it's that outlandish to think that that's where they're running their internet system through. I don't know how all that would work, but I don't think that that's like impossible.
And here's where I'm going to even make this theory even more plausible. Google just stopped the project. They spent billions of dollars on it. But it was actually, they put server farms underwater. Like they made these capsules where they put servers underwater. And the thought process was, okay, we put the servers underwater, and because servers get very hot and they need a very cool environment, we can put them in the cool ocean, let the ocean water on the outside cool the environment. It just didn't work. Like there was a lot of connectivity issues and things like that. And so it didn't work for them. So like there's some plausibility into it, but For me, like what you said, there's already cables set up, and then now knowing that there are servers that have been tested underwater, absolutely. Like, I mean, you can have underwater networks that are even inaccessible only by certain, unless you're with certain means. So definitely think that that could be a thing. The very last one, have you ever heard about the toothpaste color codes? Have you heard about that?
No.
So on every tube of toothpaste, like if you go into your bathroom right now, on your tube of toothpaste, on the very end, like on the flat end, not the cap end, there'll be a little mark, and it'll be either green, red, black, and each company it means different. Now the theory is that all of these have meanings, and if you know or and are in the know, you'll know that green means that the ingredients are all natural. Red means that there are some bad additives. Black means like don't use it at all. And there's some other colors in between there too, but generally that's the theory is green, red, black. Now, the toothpaste companies say that it's actually for machines and so like the different products, right? So it's like mint fresh with whitening. They'll put green on that so that the machines, when it's running through, it'll know when one batch ends and the next batch begins for packaging. What do you think? Do you think that this is actually secret codes that's like, hey, there's actually bad additives in here and it's, telling only certain people who are in the know use it or don't use it?
No, I don't think that. And again, maybe it is, but I think the theory about, hey, this is when the batch ends for the machines, that makes sense to me. Like that makes a lot of sense. But
Production-wise, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
yeah,
for
but
sure.
like the fact that it's like, oh, like why would they make those codes for like the people that are in the, I don't know. I feel like that's just someone wanting to be like, oh yeah, well I'm in the know. Like, nah, get out of here, bro. I don't believe that.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think so either. And a lot of, production lines, if you watch anything, even you can watch Modern Marvels and all sorts of stuff where they have the production line stuff. A lot of it nowadays is, there's a little camera or sensor that's going through there. So yeah, if you color code it and say, it gets from green to red, I'm sure it cuts right there and, has some sort of process with it, right? And that makes total sense. But yeah, man, those are some weird conspiracies, that people believe in, but pretty interesting stuff, huh?
Pretty interesting. We're going to move into our next segment, which is the donut hole. And Michael, what do you have on the donut hole?
We're going to do a little bit of a game. It's going to be a little different. We have 10 food items, Christopher, 10 food items, and we're going to go through and we're going to see if you get them right. This is what the FDA says is the most unhealthy foods ranked from 1 to 10, and we're going to see if you can get them, okay? In order. See if you can get them in order. I'm going to call out these lists, or I'm going to call out these names. You can tell me what you think is number one or whatever, and we can go from there. One being the absolute worst.
Like one being the worst or 10 being the
All
worst.
right, let's go ahead. I'm going to start with the list here. There's white bread. There's sugar with sugar, or I'm sorry, soda with sugar content over 20 grams. Fried foods, especially French fries and fried chicken. Canned soups, processed cheese, potato chips, processed snacks, crackers, pretzels, cookies and chips, so pretty much processed snacks, muffins, alcohol, bacon slash hot dogs. So that's your 10 choices. And I'll remind you the 10 choices throughout the whole thing. Is there any one of those 10 choices that you were like, man, that really stands out as I think that's the number one absolute worst?
I would probably say soda over 20 milligram.
Soda over 20, yeah, okay.
Maybe bacon. I know white bread's not that good for you. But I would rank that at like maybe number three.
You think white bread at 3? I can put that down. I'm keeping track
Yeah.
for you. So white bread at three.
I feel like alcohol. I feel like alcohol is probably pretty low on the list. Like it's probably like 9 or
You
10,
think
I
so?
think.
What would you go with, 9 or 10?
I would probably put that at 9.
Alcohol at 9. Okay.
It's basically like canned soups, processed.
Yeah, canned soups, processed cheese, potato chips, processed snacks like crackers, pretzels, cookies, chips, muffins, and then fried foods, and that's what you haven't answered so far.
I feel like muffins is probably like a 4.
Think muffins are a 4 or 5? A lot of people think muffins are healthy. They're actually not. And so a lot of sugar and butter. There's a lot of sugar and butter in there.
Yeah, they're actually not. So Yeah, I'd probably put that at like 4 or 5. Fried foods would probably like be number
Well, you had bacon
two.
at two. You had bacon and hot dogs at
And
two.
then like all oh, bacon at two. So I'd probably do like fried foods at three, and then four would be no, four would be white bread.
You want to bump white bread to four and then muffins to five?
Yes. And then all the processed foods that you said, like the potato chips,
Yeah,
snacks.
they all fall in there.
I don't know. Canned soups also sound like they're pretty bad for you too, so I don't know.
Yeah, they're pretty bad too.
Oh, that's hard.
I know. Filling in the field is a little difficult for sure.
Let's just do canned soups at six, and
Okay.
then we'll do all the processed stuff, so like the potato chips.
Potato chips at seven, okay. And then you want to do processed snacks, crackers, pretzels at
And
eight.
then what do I have left?
That's it. That's everything.
What's number 10?
Hold on, yeah, what is number
Alcohol?
10? You don't have 10. Let me see what you missed. 'Cause we got soda, bacon, hot dogs, fried foods.
Oh, hot dogs. Hot bro. Oh, is bacon and hot
Bacon and
dogs
hot
just
dogs
one
are the
thing?
same thing. Yeah, they're on the same
Oh yeah,
thing.
then I'm leaving that at number 2.
And
That's
then
pretty bad.
let's see here. So, oh, processed cheese. Processed cheese is what we missed.
Oh, bro, that's hard. That's bad too.
So let me know where you got it
Ooh,
right now. So
they're
like
all
the field,
bad.
you've got muffins at
But out
five,
of all
you've
of
got
them,
canned soups at six, you've got potatoes at seven, you've got processed snacks like crackers and pretzels at eight, and then alcohol at nine, and then ten's blank. You want to bump alcohol to 10?
so just bump everything down, and then put processed cheese at probably number 5.
At five, okay.
Yeah, put processed cheese at 5 and then just bump everything else down.
Okay, so the final tally for you, and I'll read it just like we got to do it like old Steve Harvey and Family Feud and say survey says. Okay, so we're gonna start with 10. Number 10, you said alcohol was that. Survey says, yeah, it was alcohol. Alcohol was it. All right, number 9, you said was processed snacks like crackers, pretzels, and cookies.
Okay.
It was actually muffins. Muffins were number 9. Yeah, I know that was kind of surprising for me too.
Oh, wow.
Number 7, you said was potato ch or number 8, I am sorry. I can't count.
Number 8.
Number 8, you said was potato chips. And that was actually the processed snacks, crackers, pretzels, that sort of thing. Number 7, you had or yeah, number 7, you had canned soups, and that was the potato chips. So close there. Number 6, you had muffins. It was actually the processed cheese. So, and then number 5, you had white bread, and it was actually the canned soups. And pretty much you got the whole top part correct. The only thing that you had mixed up was pretty much you got the fried foods at 4. You had, or I'm sorry, the white bread at 4, the fried foods at 3. Sodas with sugar content over 20 G's was actually 2. And then bacon and hot dogs was number 1. So that was the number 1 worst one.
I was pretty close. I was just off on one a little bit.
It's hard because they're all bad for you. But yeah, to run you down the whole list, number 1's bacon hot dogs, 2 soda with sugar content over 20 grams per serving, 3 white bread, 4 fried foods, 5 canned soups, 6 processed cheese, 7 potato chips, 8 processed snacks like crackers, pretzels, 9 muffins, and 10 alcohol. So that's what at least the FDA
No,
says.
that's great. And I eat all of those, almost all of those, so my body's all messed up.
Yeah, so there you go. Typical American. No, I'm joking. All right, man. Well, I tell you what, your body is probably ticked off at you for eating all this food, but what else are you ticked off about? What fries your donuts this week, man?
Oh, I don't know what I would call it, but you know what really fries my donuts? What really fries my donuts is these people that think that, let me give you an example. They think that being a good mom is being like the good Instagram mom or the good Facebook mom or let me see, doing like for me in my line of work, like ministry is just a different type of work. And so they think like in order to be a good pastor or whatever, they have to be like on the stage with a microphone and all that stuff. I just don't like the people who they want to post all the cute fun stuff on Instagram and Facebook and all that stuff, but they don't want to actually do the real hard stuff. Like, they are like couple goals. They'll be like, oh my gosh, like couple goals. And they see all this stuff on Instagram and they think that's what like real couples do. And that's what love is. And it's like, oh my gosh, if he isn't taking me out to 5-star dinners or this and that, like he doesn't love me. I'm like, love is getting up in the middle of the night to take care of your sick wife, right? Like when she's, you know, not feeling great and going out and getting medicine. That's love, dude. Like, that's really love. And so I don't like these people who have like, oh, they want to post all the cute Instagram stuff and they try to make it like, oh yeah, I'm such a good this, but really they're just posting the cute stuff for Instagram. I don't like that. I don't know why. I've just always been different when it comes to social media stuff like that. Do you know what I mean?
No, I definitely know what you mean, man. I think that it's messed up. But I think a lot of it is because that's a lot of what people are being shown. You know, even in the days before social media, I feel like a lot of people were, you know, I'm not going to call out previous generations, but you know, some previous generations, that was almost the mantra. It was, there were so many people that were hounding you about you're not a good parent or you're not doing what you're supposed to do, to where it became a more show mentality, right? And you know, I've even experienced it some of my life where they show other people and they brag to other people or they do all this stuff to other people, but then when it's actually at home or behind closed doors, you realize that everything that was being done for you was just for the image for other people to see, like, oh, look how great of a parent we were, or hell, look at all we did, look at the money that we spent on them. And really, it's not even about that. And a lot of times it's not even about it. Sometimes it's not even about, or as the kid, it's not what you need, it's about what they need, and it's what they want to feel validated about. And it's sad because the child's kind of a pawn in that. But I totally get what you mean.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, I'm gonna make the cute little sandwiches that I saw on Pinterest, and like that's what being a good mom. And it's like, nah, man, like being a good parent or being a good spouse or being good at your job, it's like doing the hard stuff, like when you don't want to. That's when it really comes to see, are you a good parent, are you a good worker, are you a good partner? Like when it really comes to it, when you don't feel like it and you see people at their worst, how do you handle that and how do you treat them? That's what being a good parent is, right? Like it's not about the big, like, oh my gosh, we had this big old trip or anything. It's about like the little car rides that you have with your kid and talking to them and being present and showing up to games, even if you don't post it on social media. And so you're right, like those people that normally do that, you look and you see, oh, like they just post that stuff on Instagram or whatever, they're really not that way. But I think a lot of it's like an insecurity thing. So they want people to think that they're that way. But really and truly, like, I don't know. I heard people say that, like, as a couple, if your relationship, if you're always posting on like social media and stuff, it really means that you're not that secure in your relationship, I think, if you're trying to get validation from other people.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think it's also the principle. There's a lot of athletes out there, right? I see a lot of football players, especially, to where they'll post in the off season, they'll post all the, you know, they'll post a minute workout video of themselves, of like all these different workouts they're doing and they're, you know, that sort of thing. It's just like, I get wanting to, you know, put some of that stuff out there, and I'm all about pumping yourself up and pumping up your brand. And there's a lot of that out there too. But to me, maybe I'm different, maybe call me old fashioned, but if I'm looking at that, if I'm a coach or if I'm somebody else, I'm going, now, did they just make this video because they're actually not working out and they want me to give me the perception that they are? Or, you know, and then once they get on the field, is it actually going to be a thing? You know what I mean? Are you sure that that's actually what they're doing? Because, you know, you can cut up a few minute video and be like, okay, get me bench pressing now. All right. Yeah. Like, get me running sprints right quick. Yeah. 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 And like, make it look like, oh man, he's been working all day, but it's really not, right? And it's just a facade. And so I think that's what a lot of it is just the show part about it, you know? And it's just like, you trying to put on the show. But what's funny about these people, and I say funny very loosely, what's funny about it is, And I've said this on the podcast before. I have a principle. Whenever my kid or whenever my parents, they used, when I was a kid, they used to tell me, hey, you need to vacuum the floor, right? And so I would get in trouble because, hey, you wouldn't vacuum the floor. They could tell because there's not lines in the carpet, right? And so what I would do is I would take that vacuum out and I would go make lines in the carpet without it running to make it look like, hey, I vacuumed the floor. But the funny thing is, if I had just plugged the darn thing in, I could have actually vacuumed it and got the same amount of work done and actually done something productive with my time. It's funny, a lot of these people do that sort of thing to try to show that they are doing what they need to do, or they're trying, or they're, you know, that I'm adequate, that I'm up to snuff. And it's just like, bro, if you, you know, did all this stuff, not in front of people, but in silence, that and everything else, like Chris is saying, those 110% items, it's like, man, your kids would love you 10 times more. You know what I mean? You would have such a more fulfilling experience always trying to chase somebody else's validation.
Like you said, I'm old fashioned, but if I'm a coach and I see like, oh, you're posting these videos on Instagram and stuff, my thought is like, you're too busy posting on Instagram when you should be working out. Like, if you're working out, I don't need to see a video on Instagram. I'm going to find out when it comes to game day. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to be like,
exactly.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. No,
like,
for sure.
When it comes to game day, I'm going to know, because, like I said, I'm old fashioned. And so, thing is, the game is sold, not told. So, whatever you're doing in private, it's going to show up in public, right? Like, so whenever you're, whatever you do in practice, it's going to show up during game day. So, if you're hitting the drills, if you're doing the workouts and stuff, that stuff will show up during game day. It really will. And so if you are being like a good parent, like it doesn't matter what you post on Instagram. Like, how is your kid acting? How is your kid treating? How, when you go to a restaurant, how is your kid acting? Are they wilding out? Are they running around? Like, no. And most people I know whose kids are very well behaved, like they do post about their kids, but they're not always doing like the cute, trying to be the cute Instagram mom or trying to be the cute Instagram dad. Like, they post their kids for sure, but like, you can tell, like, they ain't about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody trying to be, everybody.
They ain't got time, bro. They ain't got time because they're too busy parenting their kids. They ain't got time to post on social
media.
Yeah,
while these other moms behind in the bathroom post on social media. Anyways.
We're not social media shaming, by the way.
No, it's not that. We're talking about the type of people. We're talking about the type of people who, we've just explained it. We ain't got to explain it no more. But yeah, man, no, I totally get what you're saying, dude. There's a lot of that. Everybody want to be influencers. Everybody want to be mommy influencers is what it is. Everybody want to be social media warriors nowadays. Oh, I was just saying, just like you said, game sold, not told.
Yeah, so. Boy. All right, we're going to move into our next segment, which is the Mr. Donut. And that's the improv segment. And we are going to do, fortunately, unfortunately, I think we should do two scenarios. Do you have a scenario off the top of your head that you're thinking of?
Not off the top of my head, man. All of mine are the typical ones.
I was thinking of one at the fair. The fair's about to come to town where I live.
Oh, there
so
you go. There
at
you
the
go.
Fair.
Okay, there we go. All right. Fortunately, I'm going to get a turkey leg this year.
Unfortunately, it cost us $80 just to get in here.
Fortunately, I got that nice bonus from work, so it doesn't matter.
Unfortunately, they did not have enough volunteers to run the turkey stand, so now you have to go to the Shriners corn dog.
Fortunately, I was good with corn dogs anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Unfortunately, they don't have any mustard for you to put on your corn dog.
Fortunately, I don't even care about mustard, so joke's on you.
Unfortunately, you're going to have to pay $26 just for that corn dog.
Fortunately, it was free with my coupon.
Unfortunately, the coupon you had was for the other fair that's in the next county over.
Fortunately, I still had that bonus from work, so just pull out the extra cash.
Unfortunately, you're going to have to go to the ATM to pull out that extra cash, and it's going to charge you a $5 fee just for pulling the cash out.
Fortunately, I own the ATM, so I can just pay my own premium.
Unfortunately, you just got robbed, and you're about to file for bankruptcy.
Fortunately, your mom. All right. All right. Let's go to the next one. I love your mom.
All right. You got an idea?
Yeah, I got an idea. Okay. At a church potluck.
Ooh, at a church potluck. All right, here we go. Fortunately, the pastor got done with this sermon early today, so now we have more time to enjoy this potluck.
Unfortunately, Brother Stan is now standing up, and he talked for an hour, and we got to stare at the food while he's just yakking.
Well, fortunately, Sister Jenkins made her peach cobbler, so I have something to look forward to.
Unfortunately, somebody got to it before you and put the spoon in the deviled eggs and then the peach cobbler, so now it's ruined.
Fortunately, that's okay. I brought my own spoon because I don't trust anybody else's cooking or serving abilities at this church potluck.
Unfortunately, you found out that you actually forgot your spoon in the car.
Well, fortunately, I have my good buddy Micah to go run home and get the spoon for me.
Unfortunately, your good buddy Micah lives out of town, so no you don't.
Fortunately, it's okay. I'll wait.
Unfortunately, your good buddy Micah's not gonna take that kind of time for a dang spoon.
Fortunately, I have Amazon Prime, and I get our same day delivery, so this should be here within a few hours.
Unfortunately, they delivered it to the wrong address.
Fortunately, my good buddy Micah's gonna go pick it up from the wrong address.
I'm not gonna pick it, no, I'm joking. Unfortunately, your good buddy Micah broke his leg, and now he's immobile.
Okay, I can't say what I wanted to say. I'm not going there. It was too mean. It's too mean. I'm not going there. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was our mystery donut, our improv segment, and what's the weirdest thing you've ever had to eat at a church potluck?
Oh man, so pig's feet.
Ooh.
That's where I learned I did not like pig's feet. I'll go ahead and say that. How about you?
I think something with Jell-O by itself is fine. Do not put things in Jell-O. Do not put any kind of things within the Jell-O, because it's not cool. Like, even if it's fruit, like, don't make that into the Jell-O. Jell-O by itself is fine, but anything in the Jell-O.
It wasn't necessarily potluck, but like Thanksgiving, I don't know why people love putting crap in stuffing that shouldn't be in stuffing. Like, I really don't understand why. I remember a few potlucks where people put like raisins and like grapes and stuff. It's like, what are you doing?
All right, well we're gonna move into our final segment. And that's our eclair, which is our positive advice. And Micah, what do you have for us, buddy?
Before my positive advice, you don't really fries my donuts. Putting raisins. No, I'm joking.
I know you really do have like a beef about that. You talk about that like a lot during Thanksgiving time.
I talk about like every Thanksgiving. Yeah. Well, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday, so it cuts me real deep when people be screwing with it. It's all good. It's all good. All right. For my eclair, which is our positive advice, my eclair this week is it's okay to realize a plan's not working and move on. It, you know, something that's really, really hard, and I've struggled with it quite a bit, is you make a plan, you get a few steps down the road, and you know, you ignore the warning signs that, hey, the plan is not working. But you're like, man, I'm already here, and I think it's going to work if I just keep going. Sometimes you just got to realize, hey, the plan ain't working, and maybe we need to either revise the plan or maybe we need to figure out a new plan. And a lot of times what happens is you stick with this plan, and then you get down the road and you go, man, why did I stick with this for so long? I could have been working on something new or a different course of action. And so, you know, failure is a part of the learning process. And I think a lot of people, that's something that's really forgotten and not said too much. I know we've all heard the whole like, oh yeah, Thomas Edison with the light bulbs and, you know, how many times he tried and failed at that and whatnot. You know, trying and failing is a part of it. But I think realizing that, hey, I had a plan to begin with. That's more than some people. Right? You made a plan, you started putting into action, you found a way it's not going to work. Yeah, that's ultimately going to lead to your success down the road, but the whole thing is you got to stop it in its tracks if it's not working, and it's okay to admit an L. It's okay to take an L to get the W later, you know what I mean? So.
For sure, man, for sure. Mine is, and Mike and I reference this book every so often when we talk about each other, or talk with each other about our time in our youth group, but there was a book that we read. It was called Do Hard Things. And that's my positive advice is do hard things. And I'm speaking just because I've had to do a lot of hard things recently. I've had to have some tough conversations last week, and it was really scary for me to do the right thing. But when you do the right thing and you do the hard thing, at least you can lay down at night and say, you know what? I did my best and I did what was right. And it's scary, really scary to do the right thing sometimes. And sometimes it may cost you some things, but in the end, it's worth it. It may not feel like it right now, but when you do the right thing, I promise it pays off. And so do the hard things. If you need courage, go to your friends, go to those around you. And so I'm thankful that I have such an amazing support system, Micah being included in that, of helping me do the hard thing. And it is hard, but I promise it's worth it. Because when you look back at your life, you don't want to say, oh, well, I wish I would have done this, or I wish I would have stood up, or like Micah said, I wish I would have realized that the plan wasn't working sooner and just abandoned it instead of just, you know, trying to just suck it up and make it through. So do the hard things, and it will all work out, I promise.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Well, here we are at the end of another episode. It's been great. And we're over here all the time at the Trash Can Network, over at the Trash Can Network. And that's on Facebook, Instagram, and over on YouTube as well. And then if you're over into the aviation side of things, you'll see that over on Trash Can Network over on YouTube. But you'll definitely see it over at the Aviator Society over on Instagram as well, where we also got tons of content always coming out. And so, man, it's been, like I say every week, it's been going great over there. I enjoy doing that kind of stuff. I enjoy pumping out some of that content. So go check it out. Go see what you like. And, you know, go like and subscribe and come follow us. Come tell us what you think. We really appreciate you guys, especially all around the world. It's been a great journey so far. We got big things even coming. And so you guys really are the OGs on the ground level, and we really appreciate that. So, man, I don't have anything else. How about yourself?
No, I think that's the cue for the Starship to take us out.
All right, man. Well, I'm Micah.
And I'm Chris.
And this is the Donut Box Podcast.
Looking in your eyes, I see a paradise. This world that I found is too good to be true. Standing here beside you, want so much to give you this love in my heart that I'm feeling for you.